welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I'm uploading a video at the same time as this show, so if it cuts out, I'll have to cancel it, which is a shame because it's been uploading for like 16 hours.
Jesus,
HD footage. Oh, HD footage, man. It just soaks up so much. It's ridiculous. It's beyond a joke. So, our very special guest today, we're going to be covering a few news items of the day, is Charlie McGrath from Wide Wake News. His show's on after mine daily on the Rents Radio Network. Charlie, welcome.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Well, you know,
your producer probably thinks I'm a jerk because he was trying to do a sound check with me and I was being all snarky with him, but I had a joke to go behind it. But then the music started, so let me tell your producer right now that he's a beautiful individual, and I'm very happy for him to be giving us a quality program today.
Hey, and you know what? I just had a realization before coming on the show, Charlie, that very same vein, is that the ideal media format nowadays is simply somebody who provides their own content just being given a bit of an extra platform at no extra charge just because their content's good and it generates hits and that kind of thing. And it's the same thing with American Freedom Radio. Ain't none of us getting paid for doing this.
Right.
We've got we've got important stuff to say. And basically, American Freedom Radio simply allows us the space to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, alternative media in general, I'm very grateful for. I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, there's certainly not a money truck rolling up to anybody I know in this business is not rolling up in their driveway. But, I don't know anybody that is doing this for that reason. At least the guys that I have met that are doing it for this reason never seem to make it long, because guess what? It's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it when, have you ever had somebody come up to you, Charlie, and say, I love your radio show, I love your YouTube channel, and all of that kind of stuff. Could you employ me? Give me a job?
did you ask, have I had that happen?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've had a few people in Denver stop me when I've traveled at the airport there and who recognize me from YouTube. But I've never had any of them ask for a job. I have had people call into the program and send me emails because we cover the economy quite a bit and the job situation. And one of them was living in the South and, you know, asked about the employment situation. I said, you know what, If you're really hungry and you really want a job, then you should go to northern North Dakota or eastern northeastern Montana because the Bakken oil reserves there, and they are on fire as far as employment because you know this oil field. And he moved up there and he got a job and he sent me a letter thanking me. So yeah, that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was just trying to go see it. He took action based on some information, and lo and behold, the action had an effect.
That's exactly right. I'm going to tell everybody to take some action right now, because I this is another thing that I think is coming our way, at least here in the United States. Hold on to your hats, guys. I mean, this, and I'm talking about the election now, we can not talk about this if you don't want to, Vinny, but I cannot imagine a situation where they could cause more drama than we have right now in this country, more divide, more setting a wedge between two factions in this country, two groups in this country. And unfortunately, the people that make up these groups, they, you know, if they would take a step back and realize they have far more in common with the person on the other side of the fence that they're supposed to be hating than they do their own leadership in their party. But I think this is by design, and you know, so we can sit here and argue amongst ourselves. And I don't know if you have liberals and conservatives, that game in New Zealand or not, but I'm sure you have something similar, because as you and I have spoken many times, the model's the exact same, regardless of if it's New Zealand or England or the United States.
Let me put it like this. It's colors and spectra. Okay, so for example, what's the visible light spectrum, Charlie? From infrared to ultraviolet? Huh? And yes, that's red and blue, isn't it? So we've both got two red and blue parties. The red and blues mean either the same thing or a different thing. So here, the red, or the Republican in the United States, is actually the red communist, okay, which is the Labour Party. And the blue is the, instead of the Democrats, is the Republican-esque National Party here. So same game. They just swap the colours and names around, and people suddenly think we've got a different political spectrum over here.
Yeah, well, we got the same here. And, you know, it's laughable if it wasn't so damaging, right? It'd be laughable if it wasn't so damaging to the people of the world. But, you know, we're being treated to this dead heat, neck-and-neck race. Now, you know, the Obama camp is celebrating a surge because of the... you know, the comments Romney made about women. It's all turned into NFL Monday Night Football. It's all turned into a gladiator sport or a made-for-TV reality program. And unfortunately...
It's like really cheesy WCW or WWF kind of wrestling, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's the WWE election cycle circuit.
The WWE election.
That's right. I got to give credit to my buddy Doug Newberry came up with that one, and he's absolutely right. It's a WWE election. There's no real topics going on. Vinny, how is it, as I sit here and fight through an asthma attack, how is it that we can have an hour and a half debate on the economy in this country by the most powerful man in the world, at least, you know, that is put before us? Truly, the people running him are, but the president, Barack Obama, and Mitt Romney, who wants that job, have an hour and a half long debate on the economy and not once bring up a central banking cabal, not once bring up a central bank, not once bring up Ben Bernanke, not once bring up the sovereign debt crisis that's blowing up Europe right now, not once bring up our debt, our sovereign debt, and how we got here, not once bring up Goldman Sachs, not once bring up Bank of America. Not once bring up any of these too big to fail leaders that are still driving the same exact wagon of a future destroying semi down the road into this, you know, right into the headlights of oncoming traffic. And the oncoming traffic is the United States of America and the world. Nothing about any of this is talked about, yet we pretend that we have a debate on the economy. There was no debate on the economy. There was a WWE election event where we talked about how can we create jobs for this group or that group, and how about women in the workforce, or how about, you know, equal pay for blah 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 blah, or China the currency manipulator. Nothing was spoken to about how screwed up the global Western economies are and how it got there.
Oh, but that's just being negative. You know, you want voters to be positive and happy when they elect their new slave master, same as the old slave master. And speaking of which, being jaded. Now, dude.
Yes, sir.
In the election cycle, I instantly become 80 years old in terms of being jaded with the political process. You know what I'm saying? And here's an article here from... where is it? U.S. election. Jaded young voters hold key in battle for power. Now, isn't that interesting? Young people who are old and jaded because of an election cycle, right?
Yeah, that is interesting.
How bad does it have to get?
For what?
For people to kind of wake up and realize, oh, my God.
Oh, let me tell you how bad it's got to get.
Generation, like dig this. Here's the article here. A great unanswered issue may decide whether President Barack Obama can win the second 4 years in office. In 2008, young Americans owned the presidential battle. They tweeted and watched the YouTube clips that propelled Obama into office. They signed up unequivocally for hope and change. The pollster John Zogby says the under 30s cast 19% of votes that year, up from 17% in 2004, and their turnout rate was 52%, the highest since 18-year-olds got the vote in 1972. The outcome, while older Americans were less evenly divided between the two candidates, the millions of quote-unquote extra young voters broke for Obama by a margin of 2-1. They were, in short, the first black president's margin of success. And now, his support from that age group has dropped 10% since 2008.
Well, I, you know,
so the very thing that gave him the edge is no longer there.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I honestly think that Obama's going to win this thing, and I say
Me
that.
Too.
I say that followed by this: if Romney wins it, nothing is going to change. If Obama wins it, nothing is going to change. It really. So as far as either one of these guys getting in back in, or you know, Obama staying in, or Romney getting into the office, there's nothing, not one thing that affects any listener of this program, my program, or non-listener of my program or your program. Not one thing is going to change that positively affects this nation or this planet if Romney gets in there. Nothing. Everybody who thinks we're going to, you know, and I don't mean to freak out on your program, but I've been doing this line of thought in recent commentary videos, and it's amazing to me that I'll still get folks that watch my channel, man. And if you watch my channel, you know that I am completely frustrated and over both parties, left or right, because you literally have to want to believe. You have to want to be deceived to believe there's a difference between these guys other than what they portray in these debates and through the mainstream media. And you also have to want to believe that they're not collaborating, you know, because they are. This is what they do. This is everything that you need for evidence is happening right now, right before your eyes. It doesn't matter if it's George W. Bush or Barack Obama. We got the same exact person in the White House, a person that serves special interest. So we're not going to get a difference if it's Romney over Obama. We're going to get the exact same thing. The people who think that somehow, see, this is what it is, and I'm really adamant about this, and yell at me if we have a commercial break, because sometimes I don't hear him so well. But
we have 5 minutes of ranting left.
Oh, good. Here we go. I'm going to go off on it. And here's why. Because I have it. Here it goes, Vinny. Hit the record button. I'm going to Lindsay Williams this thing to death. Here we go. Rolling down. All right. Here I go. I'm clearing up. And here's the deal. If I start gasping and wheezing, that's a signal to take over, because I'm fighting some asthma right now. So I have a very, very dear friend, a loved one, who is currently in this battle with a uber elite type. And the situation has digressed to this point. You have a class of people in this country, which is most people, that are subservient to a master class. And they know it. They know it. So if you try to improve yourself, if you try to advance, they absolutely have the upper hand as far as controlling your destiny. And what I mean by this is, I see in the business world, I see that the average worker out there is a piece of garbage in the eyes of the so-called management or leadership, because the pool of workers is inflated far, far greater than any, you know, Bureau of Statistics or government agency is going to tell you. And these people understand this, and they know they have the upper hand in every case. And this dear friend of mine is a hardworking individual, has been for this company for 16 plus years, and is just getting run through the ringer because this big company with somebody in mid-level management above this person understands that there's 50 other people behind there. So our economy has been wiped out. We don't get told that. We get told everything's okay because everybody's getting part-time jobs here and there. This animosity is growing between the haves and the have-nots. But even this schmuck who's in mid-level management is somewhat deserves or earns a little bit of sympathy from me, because I understand what's going to happen to this yutz. I know what's going to happen to this guy really, really soon. Because not only is, you know, my dear friend replaceable, so is the mid-level cubicle king. But he thinks he's in the know. And this is these are the middle class, upper middle class people that I know in my life. They think they're in the know because they're sitting there with $500,000, has $750,000 in a 401k or retirement program. They think they got a piece of the pie, and they think, as this person does, as conversations I've had, that Mitt Romney is going to come in there and save the day and make everything okay and better, so we got to have Mitt. Well, first of all, it's a self-serving reason why you would vote for somebody if that is your goal. You know, if you're voting for them because they understand the Constitution, they want to uphold and defend the Constitution and return us to a constitutional republic, then at least I could have respect for... Yeah, here we go. I'm sorry, I didn't
see that. I'm fucking really angry as well, Charlie, about this. You know, it's like, what the hell is the point in even covering the election or even talking about it if nothing is even possible to freaking change? You know, we're just feeding it energy. You know, it's like fighting asthma by giving yourself a jab to the throat. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood.com.
Just in time, head down the 405. Gotta meet the new boss by 8 a.m. The phone rings in the car. The wife is working hard. She's running late tonight again. Well, I know what I've been told. You gotta work to feed the soul. But I can't do this all on my own. No, I know I'm no Superman. I'm no Superman.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I'm not Superman, but laser beams do shoot out of... Yeah,
I always have
laser beams do shoot out of my eyes when I see David Rockefeller. Is my audio cutting out a bit there?
No, it's not. I'm just being rude.
You mastered bastard. All right, now, speaking of the U.S. election,
yes, sir.
I was thinking about this just before the break, about how really, really angry I am about the amount of attention that it gets. You know what I'm saying? But right. Dig this. Mainstream media coverage of it.
I do know what you're saying.
And their kind of the amount of hits that they get out of it is actually relatively small. What I found during the elections, if I do an election article, I'll get 40 hits within an hour or something like that. But I'm looking at this one on the New Zealand Herald, New Zealand mainstream media, are equivalent to the New York Times. It's got one like on Facebook after being on air for like 3 hours.
It's got, say it again, because you cut out.
I'm just thinking.
What, after 3 hours?
All right. It got one Facebook like after 3 hours. One.
It's not a lot, is it?
And I was just, well, this is the thing. Mainstream media articles are boring because they're not accusatory. They don't come up with background information. They're not actually interesting. It's just boring facts, dates, figures. It's kind of like a history class in school, you know. They leave out all the juicy conspiracy and all the real history and just leave in a few facts, dates, and places that give you an incomplete picture. It's sort of like playing tic-tac-toe or rather making your roof out of that tic-tac-toe board. So there's a couple of cross beams, right? You know, a couple of crosses and slashes are on there. But the rest of it, the rain's going to come through on you.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, Vinny. I mean, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I saw you had to catch your video because of the feed. Here's the deal. Yeah, I think the average person is treated to, you know, media that is not media. I mean, it's infotainment, maybe. And in a lot of cases, not even that. And the same structure that owns the political system, the same corporations that fund our political system, and yours, by the way, as you well know, and every other so-called, I'm doing air quotes here, free representative government, democratic government, these same corporations that fund it are the same ones who own the mainstream media. How ironic. And this is why the news that you get, and it doesn't matter if you tune into AP, CNN, Fox, one of the alphabet channels, there's a reason why all the media seems exactly the same. It's because it is. It is. I mean, you have 6-7 corporations controlling 90% of the information that's put out across the airwaves. You know, and
there was actually no. I can correct you there, Charlie. It's now 4.
Oh, is it down to 4? Okay. Well, good. It's you know, the globalist elite agenda of upwardly integrating power into fewer and fewer hands is well on track, I see.
Now, what's the end of the road? Nobody will have access to any information anymore at all.
Well, no, I don't believe that. I really don't. And I think that what we've seen since World War II and the Nazis is a better way to tyrannically control populations. They'll still have news. They'll still have, you know, for an example, and I don't have anything in front of me, so I'm not going to be 100%. I'm going to paraphrase here. For example, when the, air quote again, terrorist plot to blow up the Federal Reserve in New York was foiled by the Joint Terrorism Task Force last week, we had a report.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead.
Oh, Charlie, I've got to say, my girlfriend said to me, Vinny, did you hear that there was a bomb outside the Fed? And I go, oh, don't worry about it. It's probably just the FBI not looking at the article. And then it comes out like a day later that it was the FBI dummy bomb that was
there. Yep. Yet another 21-year-old Somwarestaner, right? He's actually he was Bangladeshi.
Somwarestaner.
Oh my God. Is duped into driving a van and handed a cell phone. Hey, there's a 1,000-pound bomb in the back. Jihad, all is great, all that. And you know, they foil the clock. Millions of dollars spent, right? Just like these Cleveland 5 bozos that they coerced into agreeing to a plot. Some of them tried to bail out. I mean, they got to work hard to get these guys to go along with it. You know, they got to work hard. They're probably many nights of taking them out partying and drinking and talking about how they got to go after and get the man. Look, this is all propaganda. This is all done so we will buy into a system of total police state control. And we don't understand it. We don't get it. And I'm not saying we, you and I, we in general as society are just going along with it. But it is part and partial. Because of the new, better way to be tyrannical and to control people, which has been proven to be mastered by our new world order elite since World War II. No longer are we going to be, you know, get re-education through a boot. We're going to get it through nonstop propaganda through a controlled, now down, as you say, four-person or four-institution controls the majority of the news. When the first article I read on this Federal Reserve attempt was this glowing report of how, oh, thank God the FBI had a very well-placed citizen out there to foil this plot. And it was Orwellian from soup to nuts. I mean, it was Orwellian complete. You know, we are supposed to hate the enemy. We're supposed to have minutes of hate a day toward the enemy. And the enemy is, we don't know. I mean, who the hell is the enemy? Who's our enemy? Who is it? I mean, I thought it was bin Laden, but apparently we killed him and kicked him off the side of an aircraft carrier. And then we said it was, well, no, it was the Taliban. So we've killed all the Taliban we could possibly find. You know, the reports were there was 100 rabble-rousers left in northern Afghanistan and going across into Pakistan. So we're killing everybody left and right. We're killing everybody that's the enemy. We're decapitating leadership all the time. Yet we still have this massive enemy out there that we all are supposed to get on the big hate bandwagon and watch our country be destroyed in the name of rescuing us from a fantasy enemy that we can't find. And get this, even if we could find him, even if we could point at a country and say, you are the enemy, it's the perfect villain, because our ghost enemy is just that. They can vanish at the drop of a hat and then show up in another region. Maybe it's going to be Syria. You know, Syria is overwhelmed now with terrorist activity, so we're going to have to go in there, and it just so happens we want to go out there and get Assad and kill him anyway, and then it'll just move on to the next player. The next player that is rich in resources, or the next player that happens to say, you know what, I don't want to be in this Western banking system anymore. Suddenly, they have terrorist ties, and they're a danger to the world. The world's population is hanging on the balance. We even had Netanyahu, and sorry if I'm rambling on here. We had Netanyahu stand at the floor of the United Nations with a chart of a time bomb showing we're here, And this is where we were before, you know, before apparently we had Obama and he's letting Ahmadinejad get away with all kinds of nastiness. But now we're here. The world's on the edge. The world's on the brink. And we're talking about Iran. And we're talking about one nuclear weapon that they're trying to achieve. Now, I'm not for nukes at all. I don't like nuclear weapons. I don't think anybody should have nuclear weapons. But you know what? Israel's sitting over there. Netanyahu, leader of Israel, is sitting over there with undisclosed. They're not part of any treaty to reduce their nuclear weapons. But it's common knowledge that they're sitting on hundreds of nuclear weapons. And all this attention and anger and angst is focused towards Iran, who's trying to get one. I'm pretty sure that if Iran tried to do anything in the region, it would be literally obliterated within seconds of any attempt to hostility. But, you know, it's not about that. It's about control. It's about power.
People have no idea about the geopolitical situation. I mean, do you have any idea what happens when you go to war with a huge bunch of powerful enemies that are much bigger than you and much better armed and really dangerous? Okay?
And
what people are saying is, this is what Iran is trying to do, and we all need to attack. But do you know what happens if you're really big and powerful and overarching and overreaching and you want to take somebody's land that's much less powerful than you? How much do you risk? You know, you only risk the lives of your sons and your daughters who go over and die for it, and they won't be the sons or the daughters of the elite. But they'll just use them as pawns in their little freaking game. And speaking of which, Charlie, I'm glad that you brought on this, because that was one of the articles I was going to read out today. Here's an article from France. Iran seems on track for nukes by mid-2013. And then of course, on the right is the picture that you said of Benjamin Netanyahu. And it's like a cartoon time bomb from one of the old Adam West Batman episodes that the Riddler would throw at them or something like that. And if you look, dig at it this way. You've got a Yahoo holding a cartoon time bomb. That's all you need to know about Israel foreign policy. Hmm?
No, no doubt about it. He's trying to pull a Ross Perot moment on the floor of the UN, talking about charts and the end of the world. And, you know, it's fear-mongering, and it's you have a media that's controlled by these same powers that control our political system. So, unfortunately, to draw this all back to, you know, what we were talking about, we're going to be fed news, you know, because you had said that pretty soon we won't have any news. I believe we always will have news. It'll just be a lie. It'll be an outright blatant lie. And it's to the point now in our financial system, we've all been taught that, you know, we're too dumb to figure it out, and we need these smart people like Bernanke and Geithner to guide us through the maze of the financial nightmare, and it's really boring, and you won't be interested in it anyway, so don't pay attention.
Well, Hold on a second, Charlie. I was just thinking this, bro. Before you had a cell phone, were you able to remember your home number and a bunch of other people's numbers? And now that you've got a cell phone, you can barely remember anybody's numbers. And it's the same with news. If you allow other people to do your discerning and your reporting for you, you lose the capacity to know what the heck is going on by
yourself.
That's
a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. And that's where we're going to get to, Vinny. We're going to get to, you know, you go over to your computer, you turn it on, you go to your favorite outlet. You know, if you're part of the red team, then you fly over to Fox News for a while, and everything you want to know will be presented there nice and tidy, and then you'll move on to whatever season it is. Maybe we're on, maybe by that time we'll have Monday night, Sunday, Thursday night football. Maybe we'll have Tuesday, Wednesday night football as well, so I can get a little dose of whatever I'm supposed to believe, and then I can go watch football and pretend everything's going to be okay.
And with sport, the whole idea has been about, you know, human potential, about competition, about strength, about all this sort of stuff. And you know what we got instead of sportsmanship? We got sponsorship. We got corporate logos. We've got the halftime satanic cult show dance motif with the pierced muffin cake nipple showing on the live TV in front of children.
Did I hear muffin cake? Muffin cake.
Get you interested, Charlie?
Yeah. I like muffin cake.
I think that was something after Janet Jackson showed her a pierced nipple kind of thing. Some dude came out with a design for cupcakes that was made to look like the You get the idea.
I get the idea. You know what? You and I have a good time every time. Either if I'm on your program or mine, it always gets weird.
Yeah. It's something that I've come to notice about talking conspiracy with people. I was doing this last night. I was explaining to these people about, you know, how your capital letters on your driver's license and all of that kind of stuff is capitis diminutio maxima, which is the same as a corporation. So that person on that driver's license ain't you, it's a corporation. And they were talking about how they hated the cops pulling them over all the time for no good reason, and like for going 6 kilometers over the speed limit, and saying that, oh, well, it's actually 80 kilometers, not 100 anymore, and we're going to give you a $180 fine. And it's like, well, hold on, that was up during the roadworks. And there ain't no roadworks no more. And I was like, okay, well, here's the principle. Have you hurt anybody? No. Have you damaged anybody's property? No. Then that cop should not be on your back. And what's the first thing you said when he asked you, I wasn't doing anything. I was only going 102 kilometers an hour. Boom. You've just admitted guilt, and now he doesn't have to prove anything. Okay, right. And they were defending this, saying we need all these rules, we need all those laws, you know, to keep people in check and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and if
there was no speed limit, if there was no speed limits, people would drive 200 miles an hour on the motorway. And I say, well, what about this? If there was no speed limits, would you drive 200 miles an hour on the motorway? Hell no. I don't know how to control a car at that speed. It's too risky. It's too dangerous because I'm a responsible person. But what they're thinking is that all of a sudden people lose their heads and lose their personal responsibility and sense of doing what is right and good,
that's right,
and honest and decent the second a authority figure who has not an honest bone in his body isn't there anymore. It's insane.
It is insane.
You're a slave. You're
a slave.
It's a slave mentality, you know?
They prove the case of how much they're needed by how much they fleece you. See, the more they fleece you as a rolling ATM machine, right? The more that you're fleeced by these officers, the more they can come back and say, "Look, we need this rolling force out there. We need these kind of laws in place because look what happens. I mean, we had an increase in fines of 10% last year. So it's showing that, you know, we need to have these out here because look at all the instances that of the law being violated."
Yeah, exactly. The cops go out and they violate the law endlessly, 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 endlessly. And then they say that the reason why they're there is to stop you from violating the law when they create about 50 to 80% of all crime anyway. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. The show that's all about revenue generation.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. A very special guest, Charlie McGrath from WideAwakeNews.com, will be starting his show on the Rents Radio Network in about an hour's time. Charlie, what are you going to be talking about on your show today?
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to stick with the economy. We have hour number one is going to be Gary Hendershot talking about alternative energy. And then the second hour, I'm going to be on with my buddy Dex, and we're going to take a look at these markets that are just kind of languishing around, waiting for the big surprise coming. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what I think is coming up in the very near future with either a fiscal cliff or a continuation of Obama's policy. I did see an interesting story that I might speak to a little bit, which is this. It appears that CBS accidentally dropped some footage of the election results before this was just recently released, like today or yesterday, I believe. They flashed a banner on a program, and I don't have all the details yet. I'm going to look it up here in a little bit. But they flashed a banner during, it looks like it was a Judge Judy or something, the People's Court. But, you know, at the bottom how they scroll information sometimes during news. I'm going to read this to you. Nationwide. 2012 election, Obama Democrat, Romney Republican, precincts reporting 99%. Obama wins with 40 million votes or 43%. Romney second with 38 million. So, and I haven't seen the entire story on this yet, but, the gist of it is this thing's already in the bag. They know who's going to win. It's all spelled out. It's all for show at this point. And you know, can you imagine, Vinny? I don't know how well you monitor the election or the and I shouldn't say the election season here, because what I'm really talking about is the pulse of the nation, the perceived left and right. And I know most of the people listening on this network, listening to your program, are awake for the most part. You know, they understand it's all a charade, but that isn't most of the people in this country. You know, most of the people in this country feel like they have a stake one way or the other. And I think that we could certainly see a massive letdown on either side, which could easily spark into something a lot more ugly in the, you know, very near future at the backside of this election, followed by a fiscal cliff that's going to hit the planet here on January 1st. You know what? This is my prediction. Hold on to your hats for the next 3 months, because we are heading into some very, very, very troubling times, not just here, but across the planet. And I want to get this, because I'm forgetting to say this. I went and visited my friend, Chris Atkin, from BuyMernSeafoods.com, who's a sponsor of your program as well as mine. And he took me out to dinner, and I had a delicious meal, and I wanted to tell you what it was. I ordered it just in honor of Vinny Eastwood and the Vinny Eastwood program, being as you hail from Auckland, New Zealand, correct? Right, he says right with his...
correct.
Okay. I had New Zealand red deer. Delicious.
Nice.
What's with the delay?
I was just wondering about this as well. I don't know. There's something maybe going on. Of course, I'm uploading a video during the show today, so there might be something to do with that. But there's also the other element here. You talked about how crisis will be hitting across globally, and it's like I remember what my grandparents told me about when the other war was on, how they had to basically ration all the food, even here in New Zealand, a massive agricultural country. They suddenly, it was really hard to find meat or anything really good to eat, because it was all being exported overseas for the soldiers, right? And nowadays, what we're talking about is, I don't know if you've heard about this, but there's this possibility of a proxy war between US and Russia starting over this whole Syria thing. And I was kind of thinking about, you know, emergency foods and how it pertains to coming wars is that, well, basically, when wars happen, of course, your food supply will be or practically seized, you know, unless you've got your own.
Listen, yeah, I mean, that's certainly one scenario that could pan out. But I think that, Vinny, when you had your camera on the last break, did you see me panning down to my backpack that was behind me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a reason why. Over the weekend, I mean, I'm in Montana, and it's you know, obviously late October, and it's very, very cold here at night. Matter of fact, over this weekend, it was down into the mid-teens Fahrenheit. And I went out and shot a video on how to affect a plan of action. Like maybe it's to get home in the case of an emergency that was, you know, a surprise and you were at work and you wanted to get home. But I went out and shot a video this weekend on that topic, because the scenario in that video was a sovereign debt crisis that's going to affect the world. And I think there is so many different things that could go from a level of bad to critical so fast that it is absolutely a necessity to be prepared to not have to go out and be in the midst of crisis for an extended period of time. And for some people, that's a few weeks. For some people, it's a few years. But, you know, to at least take some precaution, not sit back and realize that the world is a very dangerous place and there's very many things that could trip a crisis event, and not to have that security, that safety net of some storable food, definitely water, you know, a way to defend yourself and what you do have. And then if you have wealth left over to protect, then maybe precious metals. But, you know, not to have the basic necessity items
to be able to stay in a location that's safe. And in most people's case, that's going to be their home. Is really, you know, especially this community, if you're not there, if you're not to where you can take care of yourself and your loved ones, then you're just being entertained. And it's really time to think that it's time to take a hard look at what's going on in the world and think about implementing a plan that to take care of yourself and your loved ones.
Well, you know, it's pertinent, and it's not just the only thing that you've got to prepare for. I've also found out that we're overly toxified with virtually everything that we do. So I was talking with, and in fact, this video that's uploading right now is a talk with a 90-year-old woman. What was her name? Margaret Jones, I think. And she joined the New Zealand Soil and Health Association in 1942 and has been protesting ever since. And we were coming on the way home, and I was telling her about how I've grown up with all these toxins, with all these chemicals, and all these addictive substances like sugars and caffeine and milk and gluten and all of this other sort of stuff. That to suddenly give them all up is kind of like the equivalent of giving up heroin. You know, you go through these really bad, awful withdrawals, and you see babies crawling on the ceiling and their heads turning around like in The Exorcist. You know, that kind of stuff. I need my aspartame. Give me just one hit of aspartame. You know. And I was just thinking, you can't do it all in one go. You've got to do it like step by step by step, gradually get the stuff out of your life. And also, in terms of security and health, you've got to start adding the good things in whilst getting rid of the other things. So you've got something to replace it with, you know? You can't just go from heroin, cold turkey onto something like, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's a process.
Yeah, you got to start, though. You got to start that process, because if you don't, you'll wake up in a crisis and... you're no better off than anybody else. Even if you're full of all this information, you're really, you're just as helpless as anybody else. So yeah, starting a plan. And since I started a YouTube channel, which was, you know, a couple years before I started doing radio, the process begins with the realization, you know, mentally preparing before anything else, before you buy your first ounce of silver, before you buy your first means of defense, before you buy your first storable food. You must get mentally prepared for the conditions we are in now and the potential we have for anarchy and for chaos in the near future. Once you're mentally prepared, and what I mean by that is you prepare yourself in with the notion that what you're hearing from the mainstream is part and parcel not true. It is quasi-fact. It's a little bit of fact wrapped in a whole lot of fluff, whitewashed, and then sold to the people as news. Once you get to the point where you realize that you're what you're being fed is agenda driven, then you can move on with your preparation to avoid crisis situations. And your number one things that you have to do is get some kind of food, some kind of and enough water stored up in place that you believe is going to be safe to take care of yourself in a period of time that you don't want to be out in and amongst the rabble, as it will, because that's what people are going to turn into. You know, people go absolutely bat you know what crazy in a situation that is unknowable, a situation that is unpredictable, a situation that seems hopeless or has no end point to it. People go nuts. They go nuts, and they're not going to gravitate towards a humanitarian point of view. They're going to gravitate towards a get theirs point of view.
Yeah, and with I think it was a long form supply shortage or something like that. It means that when the shelves on your supermarket are stocked, there is only enough stock there to last a day or two before it's all gone and there's nothing left. So if there's any disruption in the supply chain, you'll be caught unawares and you're going to have absolutely no defense and absolutely no protection from this kind of thing. And the two most important survival items that I've think about, other than just food and water, you know, the essentials, is toilet paper. And also the most important survival tool of all is something that you don't have to buy, something that you can't lose. It's your mind. This little that's thing right between your ears called your brain. And if that's working, you will survive. Thank you, Charlie, for coming on for the show. We'll be right back on hour number two. Number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. This hour, I'd like to be taking callers. So if you are listening in live and you'd like to talk about something of any kind, I'm going to be covering a range of different topics in this hour. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. 8525. I'm going to go into some New Zealand news for today. I don't know if anybody follows cricket. I don't. I don't give a flying. It's too boring. Okay, it's like the baseball of New Zealand. You know, you just sit there. That's the national game, and it's just like, for goodness sake. The only reason why people are even capable of sitting in there and watching an entire game of cricket is because they're able to take a dozen beers in New Zealand venues. At least that's my opinion anyway. And in fact, that'd be the only reason I'll want to go. Vinny, do you want to come to the cricket? Nah, not really. I'll give you a dozen beers. You're all right. Okay, yeah, dig this. Martin Crowe is like a famed New Zealand cricketer. Like, he's the guy that gets his balls flying faster than anybody other's balls. He smacks balls. He knocks balls for six. Probably shouldn't be saying balls too much on FCC regular radio, but he's the man. Okay, legend, etc. Kind of like a I don't know. Have you ever heard of Michael Jordan? He's kind of like the Michael Jordan of New Zealand cricket. If he was a basketball, yeah, you get the idea. But anyway, here's the article in here. Crowe in for a long innings. Okay, cricketer vows to fight cancer as if he were facing a battery of West Indies fast bowlers. Martin Crowe's spirits have been boosted by messages of support from around the world and some beautiful words from friends as well. Now, former New Zealand cricket captain Martin Crowe says he is padding up for a long innings in his battle with cancer. And incidentally, this was told to me yesterday by a friend of mine, is that he's got enough money to get whatever kind of treatment he wants. Okay, it's not really an object. But apparently, two of the treatments that he's elected, other than the mainstream thing, was to do intravenous vitamin C, which has a long 70-year history of basically killing any virus, and cancer's a virus, just in case those of you who don't know, and acupuncture. It's funny because I was at a vitamin C protest the other day, a couple of weeks back, with Alan Smith, whose life was saved from a life-threatening swine flu, and hairy cell leukemia, and white-out pneumonia,
and he was on an ECMO machine with a little, with a bit of intravenous vitamin C. And at that protest, the reason why I'm bringing this up, there was a lady there who kind of like, you know, crazy socialists. I know good socialists and crazy socialists. Who's a crazy one? The one who believes everything the government tells them and stuff like that, and everything that's real is just a mere coincidence. So basically, she said, "Oh, chemo worked for me. I was doing acupuncture at the same time." Well, how can you be sure that it was entirely just the chemo if you're doing acupuncture as well? You know, it's just the suspension of disbelief. Basically, you know, I'm going to believe everything the doctors tell me, and I'm not going to not believe it. So, Crowe last week announced he was suffering from lymphoma, a cancer that infects the lymphatic system and is now coming to terms with the reality of a life-threatening illness. It's been one of those weeks you never really envisage, he told Newstalk ZB. I'm fine and surrounded by great people. Being diagnosed and accepting the lifestyle changes had been tough. It's been a week that's been exhausting with so much information to take in. But I've got an understanding of what's ahead. What I know now is it's a blood disease. The thing about lymphoma is it never really goes away. It's not really curable, but it's very treatable. So you have to nail it with chemotherapy and radiotherapy when it starts to get aggressive. And I'm probably close to that, then really have a few cracks at it. Oh, well. Looks like my friend wasn't telling me the whole truth. He would need to look after himself. That's the big thing for me. The immune system is the number one priority. But those choices would not be hard to make and would involve getting plenty of sleep, avoiding stress, watching his diet, and giving up overseas travel because that does me in. And I'm sure that it has something to do with the fact that you get exposed to huge quantities of radiation when you're up on the when you're up on those high traveling aircraft carriers, you know, aircraft carriers, airplanes. Most important though was having positive people around him and the plan to draw on their support. Now this is another interesting part about health. If you've got people around you who have just decided that you're going to die, you die. It's like you've got nothing left to live for. You know, it's, oh, I'm dead. Okay, I'm dead. And sure enough, that's what happens. You got heaps of positive people around you. It's like, nah, man, we can fight this. We can beat this. It's gonna be easy peasy, mate. Don't worry. You know, we're gonna sort out your diet. We're gonna reduce the stress in your life. We're gonna make everything easier. We're gonna try this natural therapy, that natural therapy. We're gonna sort you out, man. You're gonna be fine. I'm gonna save your life. You live, only if you listen. And many people will choose to listen to the doom and gloomers that say, oh, you're dead. And but here, try this incredibly expensive, massive array of toxic chemicals and radiation and drugs first, before you die, so that we soak up mostly what remaining money you got in your life. Crowe said he appreciated the support and messages from people around the world. The support's been incredible, surreal. Some beautiful words from some friends as well. He expected the lymphoma would define him and likened it to facing the West Indies in cricket. You get through one quick fast bowler and you have to get through another and then there's two others. That's what lymphoma is like. You sort of have to be on guard the whole time. I'm sort of padding up for long innings. I've done it before, so I know it's going to be a challenge, but we'll have plenty of quality times ahead. Now, this is the power of positive thinking as well. And I found that's interesting. People who are really successful in their life because of their belief in themselves and having gone through hard times and still actually, you know, coming out on top, that mentality sticks with you and you bring it into other areas that you get into. This is why a lot of former All Black captains, you know, from the New Zealand national rugby team, have wound up in CEO positions of major finance houses and corporations and stuff like that because they just got it going on. And also, it's good to have somebody like that on there because everybody believes that they're incredibly popular and that the company won't rip them off with ridiculous interest charge rates or destroy their entire life savings, which they only do. Since he learned of his condition, he had spent half a day by himself reflecting. It was a good thing to do. There will be plenty of those sort of days, and obviously people who go through cancer must have those all the time. It's part and parcel of it. No, I totally agree. You know, you really do have to think, okay, and reflect and be aware of the situation you're in. and where it can actually go. Because if you don't comprehend the disease you have or the environment that you're in and what it means and what it does, how are you ever going to fight it? It's like fighting an enemy that's invisible and taking stabs in the dark. And that's what the medical treatment really is. And in some cases, quite literally taking stabs in the dark. Crow, one of the best batsmen during his 77 test career last year, launched a comeback playing for Cornwall Premier Reserves. At the time, he told the Herald he was doing it for his well-being, health and fitness. His initial aim was a place in Auckland's Plunkett Shield side. Going to back to Cornwall has been wonderful. I started there in 1968. I got the love of the game from father, and his ashes are spread there. There's also a plaque on the bench. Crow ended the comeback in November when injuries flared again. Now, in terms of lymphoma, they've got this little list here of what lymphoma is. Now, I'm not overly familiar with it, but most cancers basically are based upon the same principle. So let's look at what they've written. Lymphomas are cancers that affect the lymphatic system. It occurs when people, when developing lymphocytes, a type of white blood cell, undergo a malignant change and multiply uncontrollably. It can develop at any age, but the majority of lymphomas occur in people over the age of 50. And symptoms can include recurrent fevers, excessive sweating at night, unintentional weight loss, persistent lack of energy, and generalized itching. Now, that seems to me like long-term toxicity exposure. Bloodborne illnesses, radiation, Wi-Fi, GMOs, aspartame, lack of green vegetables in the diet. It speaks to me that, well, basically, this is just the result of somebody who's living an ordinary life in our society, being constantly exposed to toxicity. And over a number of years, and then later in life, it manifests itself as a cancer of the blood. Nah, it's kind of like hairy cell leukemia in a way like that, isn't it? That's a cancer of the blood. I think that affects red blood cell cancerously and rather than white blood cells. But yeah, just thinking about this, how many diseases out there that the mainstream medical establishment has says we're trying to find a cure? And in fact, how many times have you seen a news article when they come out and they say, we've got this drug that might be good for cancer, we've got this drug that might do this, that, or the other, and then that's the last you hear of it? You know, this is a promising drug, and blah, 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 and they never come out with a drug that says, hey, we've cured it. Why? Because they are revenue generating, okay? We are the revenue generation. Not Generation X, not Generation Y. We're simply the revenue generation. All of us. The whole society. Doesn't matter whether you're a child or an elderly person. You're merely a piece of cattle in a cage waiting to be harvested in some way, shape, or form. And towards the end of your life, when they scare the heck out of you by saying that you've got this big disease that you don't understand nothing about, and give us all your frickin' money so that we can stab you with needles and cut you open with scalpels and irradiate you with x-rays and mammograms and goodness other stuff which cause more cancer, and then give you toxic drugs which cause more cancer in order to help with the pain of the other cancer that we caused you in the first frickin' place. And then you've got to make sure that you keep trusting your doctors, because if you don't trust your doctors and you don't take your cancer medication, you won't keep getting cancer, and then you'll actually be cured, and then you won't be a revenue source for them anymore, you know? Please, please trust your doctors implicitly. They know more about your body than you do. They like, let's dig this. Walk into a doctor and say, doctor, and you're like, yeah, can you tell me where it hurts? He'd be like, well, what do you mean? You know, you're supposed to tell me. And I said, but I thought you knew my body better than I did. You know, these people don't know. They don't know. And here's another thing. Cult indoctrination. Sleep deprivation, herd mentality, and suspension of the capacity to think as a result. Okay? Only regurgitation, only absorption. It's the only thing that the brain allows under stressful situations of that kind. If you're a doctor, training in medical school, and you have to do 11 hours reading of in a day or something like that, and another 6 hours of classes, you got like about maybe five, six minutes for sleep, you know? And so the brain shuts down, not entirely. The thinking part of the brain shuts down, and only the basic functions remain. Okay, so you're able to read, you're able to remember, so long as you repeat it over and over again. You're really exhausted, but you can't think about any of the thing that you any of the things that you're reading. You can't question them because you've still got 11 hours of reading to do. You don't have any more time to research, back up, or argue with, or do anything like that during this. This is why most people I don't think quite understand the mentality of going into a hardcore cult indoctrination ceremony like being a medical student. They don't comprehend what it's really there for. It's there to destroy your capacity to think, okay? Because if you can't think, it means you're a perfect servant who will indoctrinate others with your credibility. People trust doctors because they've got white lab coats and they spent so many years at university. University must teach people how to think for themselves and be smart and critical think and actually know what's going on, and they know all these words and Latin and stuff like that. They obviously know a lot and blah, blah, blah. Sure, they know a lot. But none of it's real, for the most part, you know. You've I don't want to say that. Okay, doctors do know what they're talking about with some things. Like if you break an arm or something like that, I'm not going to go to a naturopath. I'm going to go straight to the emergency room, the doctor. Okay, because when it comes to physical things in the body, like just or you know, dislocated shoulder or blah blah blah, all this kind of stuff, you know, they can suss you out, man. But when it comes to any kind of disease. And I mean any kind of disease, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know that there's no such thing as a virus. They don't know about cumulative toxicity. They don't know about nutrition, okay? So your main tools in which you fight a virus are simply not taught to doctors, okay? They say that there is only one tool, and it's a drug, which causes more disease, which causes your patients to keep coming back to you, which causes you to become wealthy, which causes you to have a much more propensity to sell drugs that you don't really believe in, just so you can get kickbacks from the pharmaceutical companies and go to Tahiti. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The number to call in is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525. Back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, it's bare, man. I breathe
the air, man. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Cash talking about Agenda 21. On AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Hey, and speaking of which, I don't know if anybody listened to the show the other week, but we have, dig this, over a million views on the American Freedom Radio listen live stream since Independence Day, July 4th, 2011. So just over a year it took them to get over a million people. And this is somebody who's actually
just on the Listen live stream. There's a bunch of people from Auckland, New Zealand here, and Alabama, Kentucky, Hong Kong. Some people from Canada and India listening in right now. So what we really kind of want to stress to people is that we're not messing around on this network, ladies and gentlemen. We are not going to stop. This is a perpetual growth thing for the good of humanity. This isn't about our egos or money and all of that jazz. It's about getting the truth out in any way that's possible and as high a quality as we can and try and take the audience seriously and understand just what a central position in the global affairs of the New World Order American Freedom Radio just by itself takes, let alone the collaborative efforts of many of the top-name guests and radio show hosts that we have on this network. So, you know, if you haven't been yet to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, if you're just listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show by my website, I'd encourage you to actually go and have a look at just how massively awesome their website is, okay? And the whole thing. There is mountains upon mountains of content. You will never be able to watch it or listen to it all. It's not possible. But I would advise at least dipping your toes in as many of the little pools that are available there of information as possible. Now, going back to some more New Zealand news, there's another article in from the Herald. Asset sales future in limbo as Māori Council takes Crown to court. Now, dig this. Māori are a very, very, very discriminated against people in this country. Okay, supposedly we've got a dual, a co-ed kind of Pākehā Māori. Pākehā means non-Māori New Zealander, allegedly. Rulership of this country. And then you have a look at the population, and it's like 50% Māori, and Māori are only comprising of like, 10, 14% of the general population? And it's not that Māori are all criminals. Far from it. It's that the police are criminals. And they unfairly target them. And those statistics really come out when you look at the courts. And if you're a non-Māori man going up for the same charge, a Māori is nine times more likely, nine times, to get a custodial sentence than if you're a white boy. So it's institutionalized racism. And when we talk about asset sales, okay, something that's owned collectively by the people, I don't like that idea generally per se. I think we should eventually kind of taper it down and then get to the point where we've got people independently and responsibly running those things for public good, maybe bringing a loss. I don't know. But I think power, internet, food and water should be cheap, you know, cheap as chips. And if we ain't doing it good enough now, well, then we need to get our head out of our ass and start exploring new forms of growing crops, new forms of generating electricity that aren't totally dangerous or pollutionary. You have a look at the free energy Wikipedia, for example. You go to gorillamedia.co.nz right now. There are a huge raft of articles by Sterling Allen on that page about massive amounts of news of new free energy technology stuff. Okay, and he puts it out all the time. It's extraordinary just how much information is really out there and just how many of these devices are getting up and running by ordinary people in their garages on a daily basis. Literally, everywhere there are these people who figured Shiite Muslim out that apparently billion-dollar corporations with all the research divisions and all the freaking world can't figure out, right? And what happens is these people come up with this technology, and as soon as they start talking about it, something will happen to them. They'll have their plan or their device or their research stolen, or they'll be intimidated, or they'll be followed, or they'll be killed, or they'll be buried somewhere, or they'll just disappear altogether, you know, vaporized. That's what happens when you talk about real energy issues. So when we're talking about asset sales here in New Zealand, due to the power companies being sold off to private corporations, that said, they completely ignore the whole situation and spectra of crap hole that's going down here with free energy devices.
We don't have to be slaves and pay $300 a month power bills when it could be free! Free, I tell ya! Some dude worked up something that's basically the size of a cup of coffee. You know? So he painted it the size of a thermos or something like that, running his whole house for free for over a year and would never need to be changed. That kind of stuff. That's not being talked about in mainstream media. These people are absolutely, in my opinion, myopic in nature and mindless in their means of operation. So let's just go ahead and read the article. Now that I've prefaced that, the government's flagship asset sales program could be temporarily halted today after a hearing in the High Court at Wellington. Now, see, the government says, oh, we've got a mandate to sell it because over 50% of the population voted for it. Incidentally, in an election where so few people turned out as to rival the 1880s, when women weren't even allowed to vote. That's how low the turnout was. That's how ambivalent everybody was about this election. Because the media comes coming up with going, oh, they've got a 50% plus or 60% approval rating. Oh, they're going to win. There's no point coming out and voting, basically. That's what happens to people. Oh, there's no point going out and fighting because I know that I'm going to lose because the media told me to. They were freaking lying to you. Okay? Winston Peters, for example, is totally against asset sales and all of this other kind of stuff. They were polling him at like 4%, okay? And he did independent polling, and he got closer to 8%, more than double what the media reported that he was getting. Sure enough, when the votes came in, 7.9%, all right? These people are controlled, the media. There's a quote from some old famous American dude. There's three types of lies. Lies, damned lies, and statistics. That's what they use to manipulate you. Lawyers for the Māori Council will argue that the government will be acting unlawfully if it removes power company Mighty River Power from the State-Owned Enterprise Act this afternoon by an order in council. After the Cabinet's approval this morning, Governor-General Sir Jerry Mataparai is scheduled to sign an order in council about 3 p.m. transferring Mighty River Power to the jurisdiction of Public Finance, in brackets, the Mixed Ownership Model Amendment Act 2012. You notice how they always wrap it in the exact opposite thing that it is. So let's have a look at the thing. What does public mean? Are you public? Are you a member of the public? Is there such a freaking thing? Don't think so. There's Vinny. There's you. There's you over there too. But we're not the public. So why they keep training us, you know, like a dog. I'm the public. Oh, yeah. I'm going to take ownership for that and then take full-on responsibility for doing absolutely nothing and completely fracking up the country. That's the public. The transfer is effectively is the beginning of the legal process to float up to 49% of the company. The hearing will begin in High Court of Wellington at 10 a.m, but is expected to be heard in chambers unless the judge deems it is in the public interest to be heard in open court. Now, you'd think that selling public assets and having public participation suing the Crown in the court, supposed to be an intermediary, should be open to public debate, regardless, right? No, not in New Zealand. In New Zealand, we give a judge the authoritarian power to decide what the public can and can't hear. And this happened earlier during the Uruwera raids, which I think massive terror raids happen in 18 countries in the world simultaneously. Real bad. They were surveilling like 2,000 people in this little town in New Zealand, right? Putting cameras up everywhere in the bush. It was like escape from Absalom. And all of a sudden, these massive, scary-looking, black-uniformed, Bushmaster AR-10 carbine, gas-powered, semi-automatic, exploding brain rounds, ammunitions with cannons and anti-artillery, frickin' nuclear, napalm fuel air bomb drop kind of, you know? Walt officers into the town pointing guns at the children's head and stuff like that. You know, they arrested so many people and they're stopping everybody from rolling in. You know, you got some old Kaumatua, you know, like Maori Ala women driving back into the town, and the cop with his black shades on and his black ski mask, like he's a freaking Taliban terrorist, pointing a semi-automatic weapon at her head in the car. And she says to him, "You point that gun the other way, boy." And he's like, "Oh, sure." He just realized what a douche he was being. And that's what people got to realize about this kind of a government mentality when they orchestrate things. Okay, is that it ain't the benefit of you that they're really concerned about. They'll say terrorists and they threaten everybody, but really they only threatened a very, very small amount, a very, very small amount of us. And by us, I mean the people at the very, very top who really run and control things and want to enslave and destroy us. Okay? That's what the plan really is. And that's why justices in the New Zealand court system are virtually untouchable, because Judge Winkleman, during the terror raids, sealed the judgment that 7 out of the 9 warrants issued to the police were unlawful, sealed so that the media couldn't report on it. And my friend and colleague, Vince Seymour, who came to New Zealand from America, found and got his oil company all stripped and crashed away by a dude named Michael Stiassny, you know, who heads like major water companies and stuff in this country. He exposed that fact and put out a press release in a totally legal way, and was arrested. And he spent quite a bit of time in prison for that, for just telling people that the government is breaking its own laws so that it can enforce its terrorism legislation. And this asset sales thing's no different. And the judges are all helping with this. So Justice Ronald Young, sometimes referred to as Red Ron for his liberal leanings, is thought to be hearing the case. The Crown will be represented by Crown Law Counsel Jason Gow and Wellington barrister David Goddard QC, the Queen's Counsel. So, you know, I wonder how much counselling the Queen really needs, you know, at the end of the day. Oh, poor you. It will argue that nothing, not the order in council, nor the sale itself, limits the government's ability to address Māori rights and interests in water. The Māori Council will be represented by Felix Geringer, who ran the council's case at the Waitangi Tribunal in July. He will argue that the Crown has failed to implement mechanisms that will protect Māori claimed interests in freshwater and geothermal resources, that because its actions are inconsistent with the Treaty of Waitangi, as required under Section 9 of the State-Owned Enterprises Act, its actions under the Act furthering the sale are unlawful. The Council Statement of Claim also says that the defective consultation makes the sale unlawful. Now, they say it's defective. I think it's deceptive. Okay, we had Megan Manuka on the show, who was people were not allowed into these meeting places because they were carrying Tino Rangatiratanga flags. You know, like how you got Native Americans and stuff like that, and they've got their nation's flag kind of thing because they want independence and they don't want any slaves. You know, they weren't allowed in. No. A whole bunch of other people, even elders and things who were actually invited, were not allowed in some cases. And it's just a whole big shamble. So to call it a defective consultation is a very, very nice way of putting it. I would say a rigged, disgusting, bribery, filthy, deceptive, snide, conniving, conspiratorial, and swangling type of consultation with the con and the convict and conniving crap, all that goes in with it. I could spend all day listing adjectives and attributes of the scumbaggery. It's that bad, and it's all over the place. We'll be right back after the break. 218-339-8525 at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Do you know whose side are you on?
to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my constant silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let Sunday Eve give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that might be construed as a little bit bonkers, but I'm just free. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. 5 days a week, here on American Freedom Radio, if you're in the Pacific time zone, Washington State, California, it's 3 to 5 p.m. Central Time, so you'll probably have to listen to it while you're at work if you want to listen to live. Also, 4 till 5 p.m. Mountain, 5 till 7 Central, and 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And of course, the hour after the show, usually we will be having a Skype chat just off air with the listeners, just having a bit of fun. And what's been happening with that has been quite cool, really. Because I sing and I do songs and stuff like that, and I'll play these guys some of the songs that I've done, and we'll share articles, we'll have chats, and sometimes we're just basically just sitting there making jokes and telling personal stories about ourselves, and you really kind of get to familiarize yourself with the group. And as truth is, we're isolated inherently. And so when you're isolated, the idea is, even when you're doing colonization, the idea is to reach out and to maintain supply lines. And I feel that the supply of friendship, the supply of laughter, the supply of a sympathetic ear is very, very important to us indeed, and which is why so many people kind of join these chants after the show, and we have a good time. Indeed. Now, back onto a little more New Zealand news. Expert tip hold on rates. New Reserve Bank governor expected to proceed with caution in tepid market. New Reserve Bank governor Graham Wheeler, formerly from the World Bank, for those of you who don't know, and it's funny, you know, the Fed in the States, exactly the same as the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. You know, Federal Reserve, Reserve Bank of New Zealand, you know, it's just... they're word gaming, scheming, parasitical, frickin' fungi, and they're not fungis. Okay, they're basically just corrupting and causing black mold and MRSA of the economic variety to rain down upon your country and destroy any form of independence or health that your economy has. That's what reserve banks are supposed to do in the New World Order system. This dude, Graham Wheeler, is expected to proceed gingerly when he delivers his first official cash rate decision on Thursday. What the heck is an official cash rate? Does anybody know? I don't know. And you know what the funny thing is? In articles, they don't explain what these things are. Have you noticed that? They just expect people to know, but they freaking don't. and this, the vast majority of the time, like, if I'm reading an article, I kind of you say something, and then you kind of have to explain what you're saying actually means, where it comes from, that sort of thing. You know, back it up, have some kind of a background understanding of the reader or whatever. But mainstream media doesn't do that. They want to keep you in the dark for a very, very good reason. Because if you're not in the dark, you'll see these very, very nasty scuttling cockroaches skittering around and eating all your bread, right? Now, economists expect him to keep the official cash rate on hold at 2.5%, and in the brief accompanying statement to give little away about whether he reads the economic outlook significantly differently from his predecessor, Alan Bollard. Alan Bollard was like a minister of the scumbaggery or something for the New Zealand government, you know, coming from the National Party. These people are just basically a big intertwined clandestine cartel full of old boys and scumbags. All right, probably all go to strip clubs together to get away with from their wives. For that, the financial markets will have to wait until the next monetary policy statement on December the 6th. December 6th, the day before December 7th, a day that will rule in infamy.
I can guarantee you the day after will probably roll in for me, man. This, I think that this World Bank guy has gotten here to seize control of this country's economy and destroy it even more poignantly than it already has been. Right, and that's the only time when you get a new Fed chairman or anything like that, is if thing isn't quite fracked up enough. Then they're going to bring in a specialist, you know, just to frack it up way more than you could ever conceive. But the consensus among 17 economic forecasters polled by Reuters, we all know how manipulated polls are, is that the bank's next move will be to raise the official cash rate, with September next year the most common pick as to timing. The Reserve Bank itself, in its September statement, pushed back its guidance on when it expected to begin tightening from June to December next year. None of this actually means anything. Oh, we're tightening this, we're doing that. As if it's like nuts and bolts. These are people's lives that they're playing with. This is their purchasing power. You know, one little tweak or something like that with a banker means that your can of Coke or something goes up from $1 to $1.50 a can. You know, it has real effect on people, and they're playing around like some kind of mathematical game, and that's the reality of how it works, because they are playing a game, and we're the ones being played. We are the game that is being played here. Don't people get it? This economic garbage and tripe, GDP data, stock prices. Everything is a huge, fracking, complicated mess and nest of BS that means absolutely nothing. And and they do this all to distract you while they consolidate all the real wealth into the hands of their banks to scum. Right? They get real assets for this fake money. Real assets. Okay? I could say that I've got like 500 grand or something like that, but with hyperinflation, that'll be worth like 20 bucks. But if I say that I own a house, freehold, that's worth 500 grand, it doesn't matter how low the price goes or anything like that, I've still got that land, and it's still got really much, much more the same capacity it's got before. The problem is, the banks are the only ones that can hold houses like that now, because, you know, you think you own your house freehold? Stop paying your land taxes for a couple of years. See how that works out for you. It ain't going to work out very well at all. You're going to have it taken from you because you never own your house. Never. The government owns all the land, and the governments are all bought and paid for by the corporations. And this is a literal thing, okay? The government has shares, major shareholdings, in huge corporations that are running the country, okay? Like even things like McDonald's and sporting goods stores and really just everything, you know, getting upwards of a 30 to 50% shareholding, and most of the giant major corporations are actually owned by the government, has been exposed by Clint Richardson. So when they talk about the economy, what they're not telling you is that the economy is half owned by the government and half owned by the corporations already. When they're telling you that they're going to sell your state assets off to corporations, they don't tell you that the corporations already own half of it anyway. Okay? They're just manipulating you and deceiving you with little hand puppets like these scumbags about the banking systems and stuff like that, and confuse you with language that doesn't mean anything, and you just kind of switch off. It's like, oh, that's a bit boring, isn't it? Yeah, oh, well, there's all this stuff that I don't understand. You know, you lose people. And here we go. Stephen Jacoby, TPP, more trade, less conspiracy. Doomsayers must see a partnership aimed at eliminating trade barriers and delivering goods cheaply. Yeah, I'm sure that frickin' worked out for the United States under NAFTA and GATT, didn't it? When they moved all their frickin' manufacturing offshore, and now you got like 30, like, well, you got 4 million under 25s, or under 30, sorry, in the United States that are currently unemployed. And then, you know, you bail out GM. What do? They move all the manufacturing to China after you bail them out. Well, to save jobs? Are you kidding me? And this scumbag, Tim Grosser, comes out working for the government, selling this, pimping this TPPA. The pimp daddy of the TPPA. All right. It's got the TNA in there, and the PP stands for pimpin', pimpin'. All right. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get some titties. I'm gonna get some pimpin', pimpin'. I'm gonna get my ass. Yeah, boy. And we're gonna smack that stuff up. Oh, yeah. And we're gonna have some nice free trade babies that are gonna, like, get addicted to cocaine and heroin and start shooting people and stabbing them with knives in the throat when they're walking down the street so they could steal a can of gasoline off them. You know, this is the kind of BS that we have to deal with as a country and as a species now. These people arguing with all these things about the merits of free trade. Look, you can't argue the merits of free trade because everybody who's been exposed to free trade has been fracked by it. It's got no merit. Is this clear? Is it comprehensible? It's beyond a joke. These people think that we're stupid. They think we don't know what's going on here. I know what's going on because it's so freaking obvious and it's admitted. People got to wake up, especially the mainstream media. You poisonous, pathetic fracks. Get your Shiite Muslim together. You're supposed to be the fourth estate out there protecting people from the manipulations, lies, and power and deception of the scumbaggery elite. Because if you're worried about the people and what all the ordinary people are doing, it doesn't make any freaking sense because ordinary people don't control corporations that own your country. Okay? The scumbaggery elite do. Those are the people that you should be shining the light on, not blaming the people for whom are enslaved by the system and ensnared like a fly trapped in a spider's web, to be injected with poisonous vaccinating fangs to liquefy our cash insides into a cash flow that they can slurp up into some god-awful banking conspiracy. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, real talk radio in New Zealand. We'll be right back tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere.